I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode is brought to you by Strax the Sontaran's new stand-up special, now on Netflix. Sonta, ha!
What is the difference between a human male and a human female? This is not a joke. I do not know the difference.
Boo!
Who said that?
I did, you suck! Now available on Netflix. Sonta, ha! Once you go Strax, you never go Bax? Nailed it. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Doctor Is In. I'm your host, Paul Verhoeven. It's just so good to see you. Look good. Have you done something with your hair? Oh, you haven't. I've just got a concussion. You look as good as always. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me this week on The Doctor Is In. Wow, there's just so much to do this episode, so I'm a little bit frantic because my guest this week was very overstimulating. I actually have Rove, the host of Whovians, on the show this week, and we are going to be looking at Colin Baker's tenure as the Doctor, which was, to put it mildly, a wee bit sketchy. But first, whose news is it anyway? This week in Doctor Who news, David Tennant and Billy Piper. Okay, now, setting aside for a moment the fact that I have always been a rampant fan of the 10th Doctor and Rose, and honestly, guys, I'm convinced that the entire Doctor Who overarching story could happily have ended with the two of them being reunited and getting married and having babies and kissing and touching forever and roll credits. Anyway, long story short, we are about to get more Rose and the Doctor. That's right, it's actually happening. Because Big Finish are going to be doing another season of 10th Doctor Adventures, and they're reuniting David Tennant and Billy Piper to reprise their roles. Now, the last season of the 10th Doctor Adventures from Big Finish had him back with Donna Noble, and it was pretty good. But honestly, I'm so happy about this. I'm such a big Rose fan. I'm sure there's going to be lots of gooey PR shots of them in the studio making goo-goo eyes at each other, and they're going to get leaked, and I'm going to be looking at them on my phone while crossing the road, and then I'll pause for a second, I'll get hit by a truck, and the last thing I'll say as the paramedics wheel me into the... totally worth it. I just love them so much. Next up in Doctor Who news, Michelle Gomez has called it quits. That's right, Michelle Gomez has said that with the departure of Peter Capaldi and Stephen Moffat, she too is going to be bailing as Missy at the end of this season. My pals are going, so I'm going, she told RadioTimes.com. Everybody's leaving, so I'm going too. I mean, what would I do without Peter and Stephen? We've often asked that question ourselves. Now, it's sad news, but does this mean that thanks to some wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey nonsense, we might somehow be getting John Sims back as the Master? Like, for good. And is my theory that Missy has never been the Master but another character entirely, maybe the Rani, about to get proven correct? Am I speculating way too much? Yes. Yes, I am. That's all the time we have for news this week, but now it's time for my interview with Rove. Now, a little bit of context. I'm going to be on next week's episode of Whovians on ABC 2, which is lovely. So, Rove and I had a chat, and he agreed to come on the show, and we had the most intense, passionate, charming, I'm making it sound like we made love. We had the most amazing interview, and it went really, really beautifully. And then, you know, we said goodbye, thanks, mate, see you next week on set, and roll credits. Problem is, Audacity, the program I use to record this show every week, just deleted the interview. It just deleted it. It just dumped it into the ether. And once I had finished screaming and punching the windows out, calmed down, took a deep breath, messaged Rove, and we did a different interview, another interview, totally different. We didn't rehash any of the same stuff. So what you're about to hear is take two of my interview with Rove, host of Whovians on ABC 2, and we hit record just as we were starting to talk about how utterly bewildering technology is and about how unreliable it can be. So I hope you enjoy. It's an arcane art, dude. It's like in the same way that in Doctor Who they go, okay, so the sonic screwdriver is a scientific implement. But when you actually think about it, it's a magic wand, right? Like, that's all it is. It's space magic.
It is literally meant to be a screwdriver. It's meant to be a way to pick locks. That's why, yeah, I think, like many people, I'm one of those ones in recent years who go, like, when it unfroze him, if that was the word, in the Crimson Horror, when he was like a red statue thing, and wavered the sonic, and he was fine. I was like, what is... That's when it absolutely crossed the line for me.
But wait, that annoyed you?
Oh, yeah. That's not what a sonic screwdriver... It's a bloody screwdriver.
Yeah, but is it?
Well, nowadays, I would say, okay, it is a scanner.
Yep, sure. Yep.
A torch as of a couple of weeks ago. Mm. That makes sense. A means of opening any... It can pick any lock and open any door.
Yeah, but how does it work? Does it work?
Through noise. It's sonic. Isn't that the answer?
You can't yell at a thing and make it do a thing. That's not how things work.
Well, look, I know we have a mutual friend, Justin Hamilton, who had kidney stones blasted through the sound wave, so...
That's right.
So, you know.
Oh, my God.
It can be done.
How do you feel about the Doctor using... How do you feel about him using the sonic screwdriver to... Do you think him using the sonic screwdriver as a torch is the equivalent of using a revolver to turn a television on? Like, that's not what it's for.
He's like Elvis Presley. That's right. What he is. You know, Elvis going, I don't like this show, and just shooting the television to turn it off. Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it's become now.
Sure.
When you think... I also wonder, like, what a Time Lord's eyes like. We've seen regeneration energy used to fix bones and entire bodies.
Yeah.
So the fact that every so often there's one who decides, oh, I need reading specs. You know, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Like, what else can you sonic? Like, what else can you have a sonic thing of?
Well, trowels, apparently.
That's
River
right.
Song has a sonic trowel.
That's so stupid. Oh, my God.
You should be able to have a... What would you have? Like, sonic. It's a sound thing. And sound is good to... You could have, like, a sonic walkie-talkie type thing. Like, you know, that is able to... Like a whale's song. You know, like whales and dolphins and hippos, they can sort of sonar. It would be like a scanner thing. Like, where you would just be able to, like, you could map out... I always had the glasses. But you would be able to sort of... map out something in the distance and work out what it is.
So with whale like song.
Seeing around corners. Now, you know what it would be? Here's what I would want.
Right.
A sonic version of the box you used to make as a kid that was like two milk cartons together with a mirror on one on the bottom and a mirror on the top that would allow you to see over walls and around corners.
Wait,
a
what?
Sonic one of those.
Wait, like a what? What are you talking about?
Oh, mate, you haven't lived. So here's what we do. Get yourself... two milk cartons.
Sure.
They still exist.
Yeah.
Thank you, analog milk.
Not this digital milk for Rome.
Oh, no. That's what the M in MP3 stands for, I'm sure. So you cut the tops off,
yep.
Stick them together, so you've got like a very long cardboard rectangular prism or whatever it is.
Sure.
And then you put two mirrors in. On like a 45-degree angle, one on the bottom, one at the top. You look in the bottom, the image is reflected off the one at the top, and you've cut a hole. That's the bit I didn't mention.
Sure.
Cut a hole in the bottom, cut a hole in the top, like a periscope, essentially.
Oh, okay. So wait, what kind of a nefarious kid...
I'll start again.
Sure.
Ask me that question again.
Okay, so wait, what actually is it?
I'd want a sonic periscope. There you go.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay.
I'd like to work out... Oh, wait a minute. What I'm describing is a periscope.
Just if you like... Let's imagine describing like a
it's
flat...
It's a mirror. It's a mirror-type cardboard tube thing that allows you to... You mean a periscope? Yeah.
Well, I guess. If only
there was some kind of sonic device that would allow you to see through walls. You mean like a window? Like a sonic window? Yeah.
How are we going to get up to the top of the house, Dad? Oh, what we need is we want like 19 long planks, and you want to put them between two, but you want like a hinge at the top. What's the hinge for? You'll find out later. And then what you do is you have rubber stops.
If we crush the milk cartons to make them flat.
Yes.
And then the next one up has like three or four milk cartons, so it's just slightly higher. You mean like a step? Okay. But it's a sonic staircase.
Sure. So you can't, but you're just affixing the word Sonic to a thing. Now, the reason...
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Sonic toilet paper.
So it excites the particles on the bud.
It literally scares the shit out of you. No. You don't have to put your hand anywhere near it. I think it's a disgusting habit. As human beings, how have we not moved on from this? It is... It's like a bidet, like a sound...
Sonic bidet. It's a sonic bidet.
So sound waves hit your asshole.
Yep.
And it's pristine. I know you're all mocking. I'm seriously painting this. I'm literally running it down.
No, dude, if you have a thing that screams at your anus once, twice a day, ideally, and then just kind of, like, sure, just vibrates it right
in... That's Adam Richard, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. All right. This got appropriate to Doctor Who, this just got a little blue. I think what you want Star Trek technology so you can basically beam anything out of your body into a toilet, right?
Oh, hey, that's not bad. Mm. Oh, that's, yeah, like a hollow deck type. Not a hollow deck, a transporter.
Well, it's hollow afterwards.
That would be the worst VR simulation where you just go, oh, I'm in a bowel. What? How did this happen?
Do you know that straight away, though? Or do you figure that out as, is that the twist? The plot twist is, here's where you are. Right.
I wasn't find that, like, the invisible enemy was one with Doctor Who, and kind of they did Into the Dalek a bit the same.
Mm.
The whole Fantastic Voyage, we're going to shrink you down and you'll find your way through the human body. You go, how? You wouldn't know what anything looks like or which way sends you where.
No.
I mean, if you wait long enough, I mean... You'd assume you just find your way out.
Well, I mean, that's
as,
how the...
As God intended.
Yeah, there's certain muscles, especially if the person you're inside does Kegel. I don't know if Daleks do Kegels. I mean, your cartilage are all muscle.
They do. I mean, their pelvis is on the floor. Permanently.
Their pelvic floor has got wheels on it.
Yeah, yeah. Surely they must do. Do you reckon the little Kaled, like, weird squid thing that's inside a Dalek, would they have to do... like the sort of exercises you get on a plane so they don't get deep vein thrombosis? Like, would they have to just every now and again just stop and just, like, stretch the tentacles out or something?
Yeah, probably.
So they don't cramp.
Well, because at the start of Die Hard, Khaled Bruce Willis has to actually, like, he takes the casing off and then stretches his tentacles on the floor, and then Nakatomi Plaza, everything goes south.
That's the other thing too. Like, if a Dalek does come out of its casing and come after you, you just shoot the windows.
That
blows all over the floor.
Yeah.
You're done.
Unless you know who its wife is, then you just go straight to the wife, right?
Oh, of course, always.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Leverage.
Yeah.
Just a small gun taped to the back of a pile of goo inching towards Hans Gruber.
Oh, Hans Gruber.
I know. He would be a good doctor. The late Alan Rickman would have been an excellent doctor.
Absolutely. I think there was a person put on YouTube of recasting, although I think they were using Americans for, like, there was another, they did a, if you were to do Doctor Who in the States, but I'm sure they put Alan Rickman in there, meaning it was probably done by an American who just assumed he was American.
Sure.
I think he was on there. He'd be great. I do get fascinated by, because you, especially at the moment, there's rumours abounding, you know, that we all know who the next Doctor is, and then it gets proven that it's not correct or whatever.
Mm.
And you even think prior to, apparently, like, Colin Baker his name was put up before he actually, I think he went for the role of number 5 or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, you hear all these stories. Like, now, of course, we're all fascinated by the short list of names and all these rumors that come up. And you realize, oh, no, that would have happened way back in the day too.
Mm.
I think the second Doctor was almost going to be, I can't remember the guy's name, but he played Fagin in the Oliver Twist musical movie.
Sure.
And I just think he would have been a fascinating doctor. Like, there's so many actors that you think of what they would have brought to the role.
Well, Bernard Cribbins went for it, you know?
Did he really?
Yeah, apparently he got quite close. So having him back on the Doctor was, like, a really nice way of having him involved in some way. I mean, it was, like, 50 years after the fact, but a young Bernard Cribbins would have been, an old Bernard Cribbins would have been amazing.
Well, he was in the, yeah, he starred with Cushing in the movies. Mm-hmm. Back in the 60s. So, yeah, he would have been a bit... It's like the Curse of Fatal Death is just like a casting dream.
Yeah.
We've got Richard E. Grant, Hugh Grant...
Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley and...
Rowan Atkinson.
Jim Broadbent.
Oh, that's right.
It's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
But we can't have it. It has to be someone from the UK, right? Or the colonies. Like I would settle for an Australian doctor, maybe, but I'll want someone from the UK.
We have hopefully got Peter Capaldi coming up before Whovian's wraps this season.
Mm.
And that would be my question to him. I know there's been a lot of talk of, well, we're due for a female doctor, but we've never had an Australian doctor. We've had an Australian James Bond.
Yeah, look at that. Let's just get lazy.
Everyone. Oh.
You could be. If you get cast as an Australian doctor, you are the Lazenby of that franchise. Like, there's no way to escape that.
You thought McGann had a short run. This would be. I mean, he's just the jinx, isn't he?
Oh, God.
Poor Lazenby. We've had an Australian Tarzan back when that was something people did.
Yeah, but. Tarzan never cracked his head on a mighty redwood and then regenerated into another shirtless man, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, so who are we thinking? Who does it need to be?
If we can stretch it to New Zealand, my vote's for Sam Neill.
Oh, sure. Well, we've adopted him as one of ours.
Yeah, he's ours now. Yeah.
He'd be great. Actually, he would be fantastic.
Mm, that might help.
I wonder as an actor how much of that comes into play now. Like, if you were looking to be cast in the role, for companions, they say, hey, you're better off not knowing. It kind of keeps it real, but as the doctor, like, how much, you know, you don't want to be saying metabolist instead of metabolus and have the whole of fandom going, oh, you don't know anything. I wonder, like, if you even had the idea of, oh, I hear Peter Capaldi's leaving, would you just suddenly binge watch as much as you could?
Sure. Or ideally be a fan already. You know, like, if you're already a fan, then that's the problem solved. But then you're going to bring a certain kind of, what's the word, desperation to the room when you're reading, you know?
a certain amount of sobbing when you find out you don't have it.
Yeah.
But that was Capaldi. Like, he said, oh, he went in for it going, there's no way I get cast in this.
Yeah.
I'm not what they're looking for. My opportunity would have been a couple of years ago, and that's gone.
Mm.
So, you know. Well, it's been fun, but thanks for at least having me in. So I think I'm going to miss him just purely because he's such a great ambassador for the brand that is Doctor Who.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it's just incredible the amount of passion and love he had. Like, Tennant was a fan, but Capaldi's an ambassador.
He's a statesman, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And he talks about it with such affection. And it's almost like he's got the office of president and it means a lot to him. I was really hoping he would break the mold and stay on for another year. But, because it sort of feels like you have a year of just getting to know what the hell it is. And then you have a second year where you go, okay, here we go. And then the third year is when you sort of find your groove, and then we're saying goodbye.
Hmm, I guess. But he might come back for stuff later on. Like, I'm sure he's not doing an Eccleston where he's like, I'm never setting foot in that building again.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I wonder if that'll ever... Do you think that'll ever happen, though? Do you ever think Eccleston will be back or not?
I don't know. I feel like... I mean, I'm sure there's not, like, a sign at the door when you check in with, like, his face with a circle and a red cross through it. I'm sure he could probably... I'm sure he's allowed in, but I mean, what would... it was one season. Like, what could have gone... And it was a good season. I have no idea what turned him off.
I heard one interview where he wasn't naming names.
Yeah.
But he sort of made it clear it was two other people at the very, very top. So I'm guessing, I don't know, whoever was head of the BBC and maybe Russell T. Davies?
Sure.
He had creative differences with... Like, when he signed on, he said, here's what I want to do with it, and it kind of didn't become that.
Mm.
And when he would voice his concerns, he wasn't listened to. So that kind of caused the friction. And then I think the sort of straw that broke the camel's back was that it got announced before, I think he was like two episodes in on air, and everybody knew he was leaving. So I think he kind of left with a bad taste in his mouth. And you go, well, Tom Baker was like that. Tom Baker was, you know, he wanted nothing to do with the show for years, for decades. I guess the difference is Eccleston is working.
Yes, he very much is.
And has no reason to come back.
How would you fare if you, like, okay, so if you got the call to play the Doctor, how would you not just how would you deal with the fame and the like the intense press scrutiny, but how would you deal with the fun stuff? Like, you get taken into a costume room and you get to assemble your Doctor's look, you get to design
that
your
would
Sonic.
Be the bit.
Yeah.
That would be the bit that I think would be exciting. I must admit, in a very sad way, I bought a coat last winter, towards the end of winter.
Yeah.
And I was wearing it to work one day. It was one of the I get hot very easily.
Sure.
But or like if I'm inside, I'm perfectly fine in a t-shirt or what have you. So it's really only to sort of wear outside when it's a bit cold. So I was wearing it and then just with a t-shirt underneath and then just these pants and these comfortable boots that I have. And as I was kind of leaving, I looked at myself and went, oh, that would be my wardrobe. That's my Doctor Who wardrobe.
Nice.
It's like this three-quarter jacket coat thing, just a very easily obtainable for cosplayers, T-shirt underneath. And I could mix that up with a bit of something like Capaldi's been doing. It's not quite, you know, the Eccleston all black. It's also, you know, not quite the, you know, tweed button-up thing of Matt Smith or a suit or anything. It's kind of got a nice just jacket and T-shirt kind of look. I think that would be it.
Are you thinking a hat or a scarf or any kind of like a weird affectations, like a cane?
To be honest, I think we're due for active wear though.
Oh, no, not a Lululemon thing of like,
well,
no.
Think about it. The amount of running around that sure. The Doctor does, like if I go, oh, I'm going to go to the playground with my daughter, better put my suit on. I don't do that. I don't. He doesn't dress for his job.
But you want like a, you want, okay, so we're going to see.
Is he one of those you dress for the job you want?
So you want
the job you have.
Right, tuxedo to the park.
At the end of the day, he just wants to be valet parking somebody while doing their accounts.
But you want a morph suit, something that absorbs sweat, one piece, easily changeable, cheap, flexible, right.
Mm-hmm. All of the above.
And just.
Or just a mascot outfit.
Wait, like one of the koalas who collect money at the traffic lights?
Oh, no, they look ill. when you're peering through, you know, the mesh hole. And the eye just, it looks like a half-melted candle or something. It's like if there was a silence version of a koala, that's what those koalas were. And then you'd have a sonic bucket, wouldn't you? You'd have a sonic coin collecting bucket.
Right, but the coins just constantly jostling noisily under the sound waves.
So you would be constantly walking around with them just zipping in to the into the bucket. So wherever you are in space, you're making some extra cash. You know what? I'm onto this idea now. I've turned around.
But how do you know the Silence aren't actually just mascots for, like, I don't know, based on their complexion, a toothpaste company, and there's just a mesh hole?
It should be.
Yeah.
I think they are intergalactic marshmallow mascots.
/ charity muggers.
/ charity muggers, for sure.
The reason you forget them is because of the shame you have for not donating.
Yeah. You want to pretend. It's like we all act that way. Who hasn't acted that way going past a busker or a koala with a bucket or a homeless person where you suddenly, oh, I am seeing nothing. And if anyone says, hey, you just walked past that guy with a squeegee, you go, oh, what guy with a squeegee? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Get home covered
you're
in
right. That's,
covered
that's
in
what
numbers.
The Silence are. They are just the intergalactic homeless person mascot for what was the third one? Whatever the third one was.
I think it was a charity mugger, maybe?
No, it's buskers. Buskers.
Hey, if this sounds a bit loose, listeners, and loose isn't bad, it's because we did a half-hour interview, and it was great. I mean, like, you know, this is like the Tenacious D song, you know, the tribute. This is the tribute podcast to the because my computer deleted it.
It was your computer was like our conversation was a silence.
Yeah.
Is it silent or silence? Is it many silences?
Actually, sili in Latin.
Sili.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your computer just the file was deleted and just one notch came up on the screen. Just
yeah.
One notch out of five. I had some tremendous theories about Susan coming back and how I would do it, but I dare say I'll probably bring that up at some point anyway.
Yeah.
And how I used to make little cardboard cutout marionettes, almost little cardboard dolls. Let's call them dolls.
They're dolls.
They were,
yeah.
Of my Of all the Doctors back in the day, before there was like really toys you could play with, I would just draw pictures of them and make them dance around.
That's the bit I was.
What is this?
Don't know. You can dance. Musical. You can. The Doctor dances. It's canon.
Hey, look. If we've had a Harry Potter musical, or at least a West End play, surely there is Doctor with an exclamation mark coming at some point.
Until it gets funding, it's Doctor question mark, and only when they give it the red stamp will they make a Doctor.
And you know, well, the theme, the opening song and sort of the closing song would be the theme. It would have to be the theme.
Yeah, with lyrics, though.
Like, it would be Doctor Who, he's here for me and you, and so on and so on.
Let's get Lin-Manuel, you know, to really polish it up.
No, I think I nailed it.
You know what?
I'm writing that down too.
All right.
Sonic Bidet the musical. Great.
All right.
Done.
I feel like we've just made a lot of money and made a lot of people very sad. And Rove, I'll see you on Whovians on the 28th.
Yes, you will. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be part two of three for what they're saying is this. Mid-season arc, whatever that means. I think it just means the scary monks are going to be floating around for a couple of episodes.
Sure.
It's hard to believe we're already halfway through. It's crazy. After waiting so long for Doctor Who to be back, it's almost gone. Yeah.
Do you think...
No, I never do, ever.
Good. All right. Nailed it. I think that's a good finish. Rove, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you on the telly.
Nice. Time now for Doctor Who Cliff's Notes, and I've been a little bit nervous about this one because, look, brash, overbearing, bit of a dick, Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor was meant to be a new, darker spin on the Doctor. A ruthless, aggressive man who Colin Baker, the actor playing him, wanted clad entirely in black. However, the producer at the time, John Nathan Turner, went in the opposite direction. So he demanded a costume that was deliberately tasteless and garish, landing eventually on a rainbow coat worn by the Sixth Doctor. So to visualize this coat, try and imagine a seamstress on very powerful hallucinogens wandering into a fabric sample showroom covered in glue, and then just sort of running aggressively in random directions, and then, once she'd come down, sewing together everything she found stuck to her the next morning. So in short, bit of a unique look for the Doctor. Now, the Sixth Doctor was, as I've already mentioned, a platinum douchebag. Now, he seemed to tolerate rather than enjoy the company of his companion Perry, and his ego and self-confidence seemed utterly overwhelming at times. And now, have you ever had a friend who talks themselves up and then promptly does something that proves they're actually just sort of hot air? That's the problem with Six. He delivered the goods. So he actually managed to fix the chameleon circuit, allowing the TARDIS to blend in with its surroundings like it was designed to do. So he was an absolute turd, but, you know, he backed it up. Now, the Sixth Doctor had a very patchy run of stories, but things got interesting when they reached the 14-episode story Trial of a Time Lord, in which we are introduced to a villain that I'm genuinely surprised we haven't seen again in New Who, the Valyard. Now, the Valyard was a Time Lord who yanked the Sixth Doctor back to Gallifrey for getting Perry killed. Now, we later find out that the Valyard is, wait for it, this is great, a possible future incarnation of the Doctor who's gone rogue. Now, the whole thing is sort of a courtroom drama slash conspiracy thriller, and is actually kind of great, and it ends with the Sixth Doctor leaving with Mel, a companion who he hadn't met yet. So he and Mel meet each other out of order, right? Sound familiar? You still think Riversong is totally original? Anyway, the BBC are wonderful, but they kind of screwed Colin Baker, because the show was put on hiatus, and when Six regenerated into Seven, we only saw it at the start of Seven's run, with Sylvester McCoy, the actor who played the Seventh Doctor, having to put on a curly wig to make the sequence happen at all. So we never actually saw what caused the regeneration. But the reason I'm so fond of Six, and I really am, is because when Big Finish began doing audio plays, they had Colin Baker's Doctor team up with an elderly history professor, Evelyn Smythe. Now, or Evelyn. His adventures with Evelyn are among the best Doctor Who stories out there, period. I kid you not. They're amazing. And they allowed Colin Baker's Doctor to become, you know, happier, wittier, calmer, and frankly, better as a character. So basically, Big Finish allowed Six to become many people's favorite Doctor. And there have been surveys as to people's favorite Doctors from the audio plays, and it's usually always Baker. Now, to imagine the dynamic between the Doctor and Evelyn, imagine Hugh Laurie and Judi Dench. Oh my god. How are those two not in Doctor Who already? Anyway, Colin Baker's the Sixth Doctor. He had a run as patchy as his vomit-inducing coat, but he really did redeem himself later in audio form, and he paved the way for one of my favourite Doctors, Sylvester McCoy. We're going to talk about him next week. But first, let's leave you with some episodes to watch. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest, there's not many. All you really need to watch, in my opinion, is Revelation of the Daleks, which is a very, very solid Dalek story. And then you can pretty much just jump to Trial of a Time Lord, which I know is contentious, but it's, again, it's a season's worth of interlocking episodes with a really good villain. And it's, you know, it's kind of worth watching. And then what you should do is shut your eyes and listen to pretty much all his Big Finish stuff, because it's usually excellent. Anything he did with Evelyn is utterly wonderful. Oh, that coat was awful. Sadly, that's all the time there is this week for The Doctor Is In. And you know, like, after that Rove incident, once I hit stop on this entire thing, I just have this terrible fear that the entire episode will have eaten itself and my computer is just going to detonate. But before that happens, just a very quick thank you again to my guest this week, host of Whovians on ABC2, Rove. And don't forget, you can catch me. I'm a guest panelist on the next episode of Whovians. So on the 28th, you can tune in ABC2 straight after Doctor Who. And it's also going to be on Ivy, obviously. There'll be more details later on. But long story short, I'm going to be on Whovians. I'm very, very excited. And I hope you're watching. And I will catch you all next week for another episode of The Doctor Is In. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.